In the United Kingdom, a Conservative Party leadership race is underway to determine who will become the country's next prime minister. There are two candidates competing for that role. One is former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, a prominent Brexiteer.
I think the people of this country are utterly fed up with politicians coming back to them with more elections and offering more referendums and all the rest of it. It's totally wrong. What they want us to do is get on and deliver what they told us to do on June the 23rd, 2016, and they're fed up with waiting.
The other is current Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, who was initially opposed to Brexit but has since come around.
What people get with me is a prime minister who will get them out of the EU more quickly.
Votes are being mailed in as we speak, and the winner will officially be announced next Tuesday. And whoever comes out ahead will be tasked with accomplishing what Theresa May was unable to do, take Britain out of the European Union. The next leader will also set the tone for the UK-US relationship, which will only become more essential when and if Brexit officially happens. Yasmin Sirhan is a London-based staff writer at The Atlantic, and I spoke with her about the leadership race, starting with the appeal of Boris Johnson.
Boris is seen by Tory members and indeed I think the broader electorate as the Brexiteer candidate. He is the person who has told everyone, do or die, he will take Britain out of the EU by Halloween. So that's his big push and that's how people see him.
Now, we know that Johnson has made a number of, and we'll call this what it is, racist and sexist comments, but has that hurt him at all politically?
I think something that people have often called Boris is the Teflon politician. Nothing seems to stick to him. And I think we've seen that in his tenure as foreign secretary. He made gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. And despite it all, ultimately, it was him who quit Theresa May's cabinet. He wasn't fired. So I think what we've found with Boris is that he's managed to pretty much say just about anything and get away with it. So we'd be hard pressed to find an issue, I think, so far at least, that has threatened to derail him in any major way.
Johnson's opponent is Jeremy Hunt, who is the current foreign secretary. What has he done, if anything, to differentiate himself from Johnson?
Well, first and foremost, he has built himself as the entrepreneur. He doesn't let us forget it. But I mean, fundamentally, what distinguishes him from Johnson is that in terms of Brexit, now he did vote to remain in the 2016 referendum, but he has built himself as the candidate that isn't going to countenance taking Britain out of the EU without a deal if it can be avoided. He said he would do it, which is something that Johnson also said he would do if he had to, but that he isn't as committed to that Halloween deadline. But he's also tried to differentiate himself in other ways. Certainly with the latest scandal with U.S. Ambassador Sir Kim Derrick, Hunt kind of took a line of defending the ambassador in a much more forceful way than Johnson did, seemingly in an attempt not just to, you know, defend Britain's foreign service as foreign secretary, but also to differentiate himself from Johnson.
You just mentioned Kim Derrick, and just curious, he resigned last week after leaked emails showed him calling Donald Trump, quote, inept. How significant was that leak, and how significant was his decision to step down?
The decision for Sir Kim to resign was major news here in the UK. I think people were particularly focused when it comes to the leadership race on how the candidates responded to it and whether they were willing to defend their man in Washington, so to speak. The fact that Johnson wasn't seemingly willing to defend Sir Kim on the onset during a debate reportedly played a role in Sir Kim's decision to resign and has called into question whether a Johnson premiership would basically have Britain see more of the same, kind of trying to appeal to the U.S. and to this particular administration with the hopes of getting a trade deal, for example, at any cost, seemingly. So that was a big concern here.
I want to get back to US-UK relations in just a minute. But before, I really want to talk about who's actually choosing the next leader of the UK here. Now, we know that there are 46 million eligible voters, but not all of them are going to have a say in this, right?
Indeed, yes. It's a small, small piece of the electorate that's going to be deciding who becomes Britain's next prime minister. Because though this election is ostensibly about choosing the next PM, in actual fact, it's about choosing the next leader of the Conservative Party. And that decision ultimately falls to Conservative Party members. So this is a sliver of the electorate that is made up of approximately 165,000 voters. This is a chunk of the electorate that is on average, more white, older, wealthier, and male than the rest of the British electorate. And it's a piece of the electorate that is very keen on seeing Brexit through. So it's not exactly a group that I think one could say is representative of the British electorate more broadly, but it is the group that is going to have the biggest say. So where they stand on things and how they see the candidates matters most.
Don't want to speculate too much here, Yasmin, but it feels like regardless of who ends up becoming the next prime minister, Brexit is pretty much going to happen, barring any major upheaval.
It's really hard to say what's going to happen, but I think that's right. And I think what's really important to remember is that no matter who becomes prime minister, the issue of Brexit and fundamentally all the issues that Theresa May faced as prime minister, and by that I mean the numbers in parliament, the position of the EU, all of those major things don't really fundamentally change regardless of who's in 10 Downing Street. So I think once this contest is put to bed, what we're going to turn our attention to is how can either of these men solve any of the myriad of issues Theresa May faced in a different way? And at the moment, that seems terribly unclear as to how they're going to do that.
Now, if Brexit does actually happen, and you mentioned the Halloween deadline here, particularly for Boris Johnson, the United States and the UK would have to really create new trade negotiations and trade deals between them. What impact do you think that that could end up having on whatever deal comes out? Well, you know, the United States has been pretty, or at least has attempted to be pretty bullish on trade, particularly with countries like China. So what could this tell us?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Britain obviously sees an uphill battle in striking this trade deal when it does leave the EU. The US may be their special ally and partner, but this is an administration that has proven itself to be very transactional in all of its dealings with countries, ally or not. And I think there are a number of issues where Britain and the US fundamentally disagree. Iran is one, climate change is one. I certainly don't think that these are issues that the administration is going to ignore when deciding things like trade. I think President Trump has proven time and again that, you know, everything tends to be on the table when he discusses matters such as these. So, you know, the special relationship has certainly seen better days, and I think they have a lot of differences to overcome, and these trade talks are going to be difficult, and I think they're going to have to contend with them somehow.
Yasmin Sirhan is a London-based staff writer at The Atlantic. Thanks so much, Yasmin.
Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.